You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Man does not live by bread alone, nor by any other thing for that matter. He lives when the Spirit of God surges through him.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we reach out for a better life, let us turn in prayer to the living God. O Father, source of our being, sustain us with your goodness, provide us with such things as are necessary, and make us grateful for the things we have. Lord Jesus Christ, you who were crucified but are alive, forgive us and take away our life-destroying sins. O Holy Spirit, fill us with new power and new vitality. Lord of our life, keep us in faith and hope and in communion with you, now and always. Amen. The postman comes, another one of those letters. You, sir, have been selected to win a grand prize. Our computer has chosen your name from our list of subscribers to qualify for a bonus. All you have to do is... With monotonous regularity, letters of this sort cross my desk. Usually I don't bother to read beyond the opening paragraph. The letter is dropped into the wastebasket. A few people, somewhere, may indeed win a prize. I'm not one of them. I'm among the millions who qualify, but who always walk away empty-handed. "I tell you what I'm going to do," says the huckster at the county fair, on the street corner, or at your doorstep. "I'm going to give you, absolutely free..." Again, my suspicions are aroused. I take what he says with a grain of salt. Experience tells me that you don't get something for nothing. If you do, your prize is a trinket. It has little value. Jesus Christ comes to offer something great, life. Life in all its richness and fullness. Don't cast his offer aside. Life is a priceless treasure. If you haven't life, you haven't anything. If you have life, you can have everything. The value of the prize, oh, it's actually a gift, cannot be overestimated. It's great. It's there for all people, not just for the lucky winner, but for all. It is enjoyed by all who follow Jesus. He says, "I came that they may have life, and have it abundantly." Again, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Millions of people have accepted Christ's offer and are deeply grateful for having done so. They enjoy life in its fullest dimension. That prize is not beyond your reach. Jesus makes a genuine offer to all, especially to those who have experienced any measure of boredom, emptiness, frustration. The offer is there for all who have lost the thrill of living and have no hope for better things to come. Jesus Christ offers, and all of us can have, a new and an abundant life. Does your life have meaning? Do you enjoy being alive? Or is life just a bad joke? That's all it is to some, indeed to many. There are those who are so racked with pain, so filled with sorrow, so devoid of hope, that they look forward to the release which comes with death. Some people deliberately seek death. They flirt with it. They are out to destroy their life, bit by bit, or in one sudden rash and foolish act. For such persons, Christ still holds out hope. Of them and to them, he says, I came that they may have life, and have it abundantly. But I am speaking not only to the desperate few for whom life is no longer worth living. I am talking also to the countless numbers who want to go on living, but for whom life has become a drag. They have lost the thrill of being alive. For them there is no sense of adventure in waiting for the morning. The day consists of a round of monotonous activities, and the night brings little refreshment. They have become disillusioned with the mad scramble for possessions, pleasure, and power, which has become the pattern of living for so many on the North American continent. Good health is a blessing. An advertising billboard one half block from my office window bears this inscription: The gift of life is more than money. Ask the Kidney Foundation about the organ donor program. This is an appeal for much-needed help. Organ transplants have given some people another chance to live. They have restored a measure of health. But life can still be a bore. Even to those who are blessed with a pair of good kidneys, arthritis-free joints, and 20/20 vision. A young man, full of health and vitality, some time ago said to me, I'm disillusioned with the quality of life in our country. We are forever getting more material things, but we are losing so much that is of greater value. I wish to leave. I want to go to some faraway spot in the world where life is less complex and where human values are still being treasured. It may not have been clear to him what he was looking for, but he was searching. He was looking for a more abundant life. He realized he did not yet have it. He hoped he could find it somewhere. Millions share his feelings. They know they haven't the fullness of life for which they crave. The happy-go-lucky person does not necessarily have it either. He may have all the food he needs for his body, all the intellectual stimuli he needs for his mind, all the pleasure-filled moments he can handle, but he still lacks something. If he doesn't know he's missing something, all he has to do is wait a while. He'll find out. That's the way it is, you see. There is no real life unless it is tied up with him who is the life. There is no true life apart from God. Man was only a lump of clay until God breathed into him the breath of life. Then he became a living being. Then he had life. So long as he stayed close to God and did his will, he continued to have life. This do and you shall live. Keep my law and do my will, and you shall be crowned with life. That's what the Lord says. Life depends on God. Man does not live by bread alone, nor by anything else for that matter. He lives by the supply of life which God provides. God is a living and a life-giving God. He creates life, sustains life, and fills it with vitality and power. Unfortunately, we don't live as we can. we don't have life. We lost it. We forfeited our right to live. That's what sin, so common to every man, has done to us. Sin pays off with death. Sin robs life of its fullness. Every sorrow which afflicts us, every weakness, everything which mars life, takes the joy out of life, and eventually destroys it completely, finds its roots in sin, in man's determination to get along without the God who is the source and the giver of life. Jesus offers a new and abundant life. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's a startling claim. He makes a lot of startling claims about himself. And the writers of the Holy Scriptures make a lot of startling claims about him too. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men," says the evangelist St. John. Do you want the kind of perception which makes sense out of living, which tells you who you are and why you are? Do you want to know how you fit into the pattern of history? Jesus offers you that kind of enlightened life. Jesus came that where sin once reigned, righteousness might take over, the Apostle Paul tells us. Do you want that kind of life? The kind in which sin is no longer master over you? Do you really want the full life which reaches out to God in worship and to your fellow man in loving service? That's really living, you know. For anyone who seeks to find life for himself will lose it. He who loses himself in the service of God and people will find it. Do you want that kind of satisfying life? Jesus offers it. Life in God is like a tree planted by water, a tree which sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought. So writes the prophet Jeremiah. Do you want a life able to cope with trouble? Do you want a life which does not fall to pieces when catastrophe strikes, and which retains its composure in the midst of emergencies? Jesus offers that kind of abundant life. Do you seek a life which is secure? You will find security in the love of God. Jesus promises, "They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." The abundant life which Jesus offers goes on, beyond the grave. "I am the resurrection and the life," he says. "He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." It is eternal life, glorious in its newness. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. A new and abundant life. That's what Jesus offers. And he can back up any offer he makes. One day a group of people came to him. They had some questions, and they wanted direct answers. "Are you the Christ? Are you the promised Messiah? How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus replied, "I have told you, and you do not believe. I have performed works, and you dismiss the evidence. If only you would believe in me. My sheep hear my voice. They have life. It is a life which only God can give. I can give it, because I and the Father are one." A startling claim, but true. Speaking is the Son of God. This is the Christ. He is the source of life. In him was life, for he was with the Father from the beginning. This Son of God became man, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He became the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And by his death, we have life. He gave his life willingly. No one took it from him. I have power to lay it down, he said, and I have power to take it again. Indeed, he did die, willingly. And he rose from the dead by his own power. He died and rose for us. He died to take away our sin, and he rose for our justification. He died to overcome death, and he rose to a sure life for all who follow him. To follow him is to believe in him, and to believe in him is to have life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There were those who had trouble believing in Jesus, and that is why they asked him to tell them plainly if he was the Messiah. He had told them plainly, by his deeds and with direct words, but they did not believe. Others believed in him. He called them his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. The way to take hold on life is to take hold on Jesus Christ by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. To take hold on the forbidden fruit is to take hold on death. But to take hold on Jesus is to take hold on life. The abundant life comes when we take a firmer grip on Jesus Christ. Take hold on Jesus. Live richly, fully, abundantly, forever by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.